Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be looking ahead to the new Donegal Junior League soccer season, which kicks off this weekend. Matches Saturday and Sunday. We'll be speaking with the secretary of the Donegal League, Nigel Ferry. On the motorsport front, Kyle McBride is one of a number of competitors from Ireland and indeed from the county who's in Wales this weekend competing in the latest round of the BRC and the latest round of the ERC Rally Cardigan. And he, of course, is fighting for junior honours, and we will be speaking with the Inishowen man tonight. Plus, Mona McSharry. Well, what can we say? Homecoming took place last night in Ballyshannon. Hundreds lined the streets for the reception as she came back to the Marlins Club with that Olympic bronze medal. We'll have a recap of how the evening went with Mark Gallagher later on in the programme. But we are going to start with Gaelic Games, and our main focus of attention this weekend here in Highland is going to be the Donegal Senior Hurling Championship decider. The old foes of Satanta and Burt will lock horns in this weekend's final. The tie is a repeat of the 2022 decider, which ignited Satanta's run to what could result in three in a row Munster Cups on Saturday. Myself and Eugene Organ will have live match commentary here in Highland, as from the 5 o'clock throw-in in associations with top line McCreary's Kelly Gordon. Now, having lifted the Ulster Intermediate title last year, victory this weekend would also mean Satanta would seal a spot in the Ulster Senior Club Championship. Burt have won more Donegal Hurling titles than any other club in the county, but Saturday's appearance in the decider is just their second in 6 years. Coming up, we'll hear from Satanta's Bernard Lafferty, but first, Burt manager Marty McGrath has been speaking with Dara Boner of the Donegal News.
Martin, just coming into the game, how have you been getting on? I suppose you had the big game against St Unions there. It was kind of like a semi-final.
Yeah, that's right. The last match against Unions was a tight match down in Burt. I know there was a bit of a disruption about the score, but thankfully they ended up a draw and they got through in score difference then. So, you know, it was a good tight match in terms of preparation and stuff. So.
Yeah, it's probably the perfect way to come into a game like this. Obviously, Satanta have been one of the kingpins in Donegal recently. I suppose getting to the Ulster Intermediates and winning that last year kind of proves that as well.
Look, no doubt they're a good team, and any team that does win the Ulster Intermediate, look, are worth their salt, you know. No doubt about it. Look, they've good six forwards that here in any given day could start in the Donegal team, like, you know, so it'll not be easy getting them shut down.
Yeah, I suppose for yourselves, I mean, you're in a bit of the same boat. Plenty of Donegal players in there between the defence and attack. Like, there's no lack of firepower in your own team.
No, we've a good bit of strength and a good bit of experience too with some of the older boys, Stephen Gillespie and Dara Grant and Christy McDermott and them boys. You know, we'll be looking to put their best foot forward as well as both the younger county boys as well. You know, Gatland and McKinney and Kevin Curran's and boys will get.
Yeah, and I suppose whenever you last got to the final in 2022, those boys in their first final, maybe a wee bit inexperienced, I'm sure that one will have stood to them coming into this final.
100%, look, they're green there. I suppose they're a bit more experienced now, but still very young, like, in terms of the overall thing. If you're looking for of a scale of a team, like, do you know, a good majority of our team's still under 21, like, do you know, and we haven't that many over the 30, only three or four over the 30, so it is a young side, in fairness, you know.
Yeah, and I suppose historically, Burt have always been the top team in Donegal. It's been a bit of a drought, maybe you'd say. It's only been 6 years, I suppose, but for Burt, that's a long time. What would it mean to get over the line this weekend?
100%, and Burt, I suppose, look, there's actually a bit of excitement about the place this week, with flags going up and stuff, and even the profiles going up of the boys on the Facebook page or whatever. I suppose in years past, we nearly took it for granted, whereas now, this is only the second final in 6 years or something yet since 2018, so... You know, it's about an excitement rather than just expecting me there. Now we have to work to get there. You know.
Yeah, and just I suppose whenever you are coming up against Satanta, you know, you need to bring your A game. I'm sure that's what you've been drilling into the team the whole week.
100%. Look, we're going to have to give a big performance to come out with a result. There's no doubt about it. We'd just be hoping on the day everything clicks for us, you know, and suppose at the end of the day, look, it's a game of hurley and you never know what's going to happen, so we have to go with that.
So here with Bernard Lafferty, Santa, stand-in captain for Mark Callaghan, I suppose. Bernard coming into what is, I believe, the eighth final in a row for Setanta in the hurling, and I think even just saying that sounds very impressive, doesn't it?
I actually never even thought of it like that, in fairness. I never even counted them up, but eight in a row, that's very impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, and obviously going for a third one in a row now, playing Bert, who ran you very close in 2022 as well.
Yeah, three in a row was on our mind right from the very start of this championship, in fairness now. We met history last year in intermediate Ulster, but another bit of history with three in a row, good out sweet.
Yeah, is that something you just have to park away, the intermediate talk? You just have to focus on what's in front of you now?
What do you say? You made history. History's called history for a reason, I suppose. It's in the past. Now we look ahead to Saturday.
Yeah, and just coming into this, I know you played Bert there recently in the cross. I think they went in with a good lead at half time, but just kicked on in the second half then.
We played well now in the second half. They couldn't really get out. They couldn't get space. We kind of swarmed all of Burnley's puckouts and kept them pinned in. We just turned it on, really.
Yeah, is that something that you'd be thinking about, like that first half, and just make sure you don't let them in for the couple of goals again?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Definitely. Well, we're missing Stevie and the game at the cross now, and when you're missing your fullback, it's kind of the spine nearly gone, so no, we'll definitely not be letting them in that early anyway.
I suppose just coming into this, like, I'm sure you've been involved in a lot of them, but they never lose their appeal, do they, winning this Munster Cup?
No, not really, no. Definitely not. The three in a row is definitely, it's all of our aim at the cross here at the moment. It's definitely three in a row, and Bert in a county final, to get three in a row against them, it would mean massively.
For the team that you currently have, obviously there's a lot of standout players, and I think the county panel's littered with Setanta men in there. You're in a really good generation of players at the minute.
Aye, we've got a very good team there. We've got good players all really over the pitch, and even from last year, I think our squad is strengthened.
If you could get through, obviously, it would mean going into the Ulster Senior. Is that something that, would you even be looking at that at the minute, or is it something that you just think, geez, that would be nice to play an Ulster Senior game?
A few thoughts. Like, obviously, if you think about winning it in the three in a row, and then, you know, if you do the three in a row, you're going out maybe in a couple of weeks after that to play Ulster Senior Championship. Like, and that's kind of crazy. Like.
That's Bernard Lafferty, and before that, Marty McGrath, two men involved in Burton Setanta who are fighting it out for the senior hurling title this weekend. The intermediate championship final is going to be an all in a shown affair on Saturday at the O'Donnell Park. This game starts at 3:00. Cairn Donagh will play in a decider at this level for the second year in a row, having lifted the title last year. It's also a big day for Buncrana as the club plays in its first ever hurling final. Dara also spoke with both camps ahead of this game. Coming up, Cairn's James McGonigal. But first, Buncrana's manager, Tommy O'Neill.
Tommy, I suppose you've already played Buncrana and were defeated at the Scarvey. How are you looking going in this game this time?
Yeah, well, hopefully we had a couple of injuries in the last game against Cairn. So, you know, so we're every man back fitting well now. So hopefully on the day we'll get across the line.
Yeah, just how have you felt the seasons went for Buncrana and overall?
Well, we kind of struggled this year with injuries, and then we didn't get over the line. A game against McCool's was a bit of a blow to us, and you know, so we kind of had to get our heads up, back up off the ground, and we went down and beat Ballyshannon to get into the final here now today on Saturday. So hopefully we'll get over the line against Cairn. Cairn and us always had a battle, like, so. And Cairn is building well down there, so it'll be a good match, like.
Yeah, is there a lot to take from the defeat when you last played them that you can go into this game? I suppose they always say you learn more from losing than winning. Is it just a cliche?
Well, you'd always learn from losing, like, you know, it was a bit of a blow as well, you know, so that was kind of two blows we got this year. But it's just, you know, it was kind of a rubber game, and we kind of just get up and get on with it again. Like, the boys are happy enough. You know, we should have probably put more scores over, and we're kind of maybe a bit lackadaisy on the day, you know. So hopefully this time we'll get over the line.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, it's still a county final. I think the winners go into Ulster as well for this. Yeah, so yeah. There's a lot at stake.
There's a lot at stake, yeah, and it'll be the first bit of silverware that Buncrana got in a county final. Like, we haven't reached a county final, so this will be the first county final One Crana Hurlers got. So we're looking forward to getting that, and if we win that, then go through to Ulster, and we'll see how we get on there. Be the first time in Ulster as well, so it'll be good to see how we get on.
So I'm here with Karen Donoghue's James Monagall. James, just coming ahead of the Intermediate Hurling Final against Buncrana, should be a tough clash. You've played them already twice, I believe.
We had them once in the Championship, and I think we had them early on in the league. I think kind of teams have definitely changed since the league, but I know in the Championship there we played them, and I was watching from the sideline the first half. Most of the game now I was injured, like, but it was great to watch. You know, it'll definitely be a big game for the spectator. You know, the intensity to watch, and it was brilliant. Like, both teams were flying. There's some great stuff. You know, like, there's quality forwards in there. You have like Jack O'Loughlin and Oisin Grant, and I know there's more boys come back, like Dylan Duffy and the likes. Like, there's quality everywhere, and kind of. But the last day, if that's anything to go by, it should be a great game again this weekend.
Yeah, and Karen Donna, I think a lot of people say they're a fairly up-and-coming hurling side, and I suppose this is the second time you've been in the Intermediate Final now, and 2 years in a row. It's been going well for you.
Up-and-coming, slowly but surely. You know, starting kind of in the junior ranks there from the last couple of years and working our way up to Intermediate now at the minute. We're in the final there last year as well. Unfortunately, we came out on the right side of the result there. You know, we had a few things go our way. But now I know it's going to be another big step up. You know, Buncrana, they're a senior team that's now long last time, and whenever we originally came up with a senior team, that was kind of one of the teams that we wanted to kind of model ourselves after and break our way into the kind of senior fold. And you know, it just showed like the quality they have. You know, we're kind of striving to be them, but it'll be a real, real tough game now at the weekend, and it'll be a tough one to get over them now with all their senior experience.
Yeah, and I suppose just with the win last year, definitely that'll give you some good experience. But as of course, it is an Inishowen derby, so anything can happen on the day too.
Yeah, I know. The Donald Park, you know, have been used to it. Maybe, you know, last year we had a cracker of a day. Hopefully, weather holds up, we get a nice weekend now as well. That's one thing. But I, as you said, like the Inishowen derby, like the intensity that we seen the last day we played them, and you know, it's definitely going to be there again. So. You know, you go in with a plan, but, you know, after the 10 minutes, if it's helter-skelter, like, the plans go out the window, and it's just survival then for the rest of the way, and we hope we can kind of hang with them and keep it close for as long as we can.
That's James McGonigal, and before that, Buncrana manager Tommy O'Neill ahead of that Buncrana Cairn Intermediate Hurling Final on Saturday. But the opening match this weekend is the junior decider. The defending champions are St Unans. They take on Four Masters at 1 o'clock. On Saturday afternoon. That's the opening game of three fixtures at the Letterkenny venue. As we said, St Unans are the defending champions at that tier. Four Masters are playing in their first decider. I suppose it's senior level for the first time in 19 years. If you go to our website, highlandradio.com, there's a preview piece there as well with Peter McFarland of Four Masters and Eddie Gaffey of St Unans. Football-wise, this weekend, there is a number of championship games being played here in Donegal, which were called off, of course, last week due to the weather. At senior level, St Nolls are playing Killybegs on Saturday at 1:30. There's also junior matches over the weekend. Neve Padraic Muff against Mavul, Neve Breed play Convoy, and Uris take on Neve Padraic. There's a host of B fixtures at different levels also to be played over the course of the 2 days. Plus, the round four draw for the senior championship will take place on Saturday evening as well, and it will be live here on Highland from the O'Donnell Park after we do a commentary from the hurling match on a Saturday. It's going to be another busy weekend in Derry in the championship as well, because there's matches to come over Saturday and Sunday. Plus, there's a match tomorrow evening, Friday, to start the weekend at senior level. It's Lavey against Ballinascreen and Owen Begg, and that round three fixture tomorrow evening has a start time of 8:15. And the other senior games, Kilray take on Slochneil, Loop against Steelstown, O'Donovan Ross and Mara Felter up against Sean O'Leary's Newbridge, Dungiven play Ballaghy, and Swatra meet Glen. Those Dungiven and Swatra fixtures are actually on Sunday evening. Right, time for a break here in the Score. We'll be back with more at the other end of these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to the Score programme here on Highland. Tonight we go to football and the new Donegal Junior League season gets up and running this weekend. There's a full programme in the Voodoo Cup on Saturday and likewise in the Brian McCormick Cup on Sunday. Looking ahead to the new campaign, Highland's Mark Gallagher spoke to Secretary of the Donegal League, Nigel Ferry, earlier today.
Well, it's been a summer full of sport on the telly, but now we're back this weekend playing local football. It's good to be back, Nigel, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good to get going again, Mark. We've had a good few weeks off now, so we're all keen and ready to go again for the start of the new season. You know, so all systems go is actually kicking off tonight. One of the games brought forward, so we're actually on the way this evening. Kildrum are playing Drumahl at 6:30, so that in the Brian McCormick Cup, so that'll be the first fixture of the season.
Yeah, and before we get into the action this weekend, are there any changes to the league for the upcoming season?
Numbers are the same, Mark. We have 30 teams playing in the Sunday, three divisions, and we have 30 teams playing in the Saturday, three divisions as well. So numbers-wise, we're the same. Probably the only change we do have is a little bit of technology coming on board this year. We're going down the road of digital match cards, you know, so everything's going to be done online. We're using a new app called the Comet Football app that will live update the games as go on. So that's going to be a new, you know, venture for us, and we'll see how that works out. So that'll be trial run on it this evening and that game, and we'll see how it's going. We should be able to see live scores coming in and teams being, clubs enter the teams online and everything. So it's we're looking forward to that, mate, see how that works out for us.
Yeah, sounds good. That should add an extra wee interest and dynamic to the season, shouldn't it?
Well, it should. It means now that if you do download the app, you know, you can keep an eye on all the scores that happen on Saturday, on a Sunday, midweek games or whatever. You get a full detail of the fixtures that we have in the Donegal League going live, and it should add another layer to it. So it's something we don't know an awful lot about, so we're very much in the learning process, and we'll just see how, hopefully, Mark, it'll go okay. Fingers crossed, everything works out for us, you know.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And there's going to be a lot of interest in the Premier Division this season, perhaps more than ever, actually, with the addition of, you know, Letterkenny Rovers and Bunnaghee joining the other big hitters in there, with the likes of reigning champions Fannad, Kildrum Tigers, KG Rovers, Kilmacrenan. It's all set up for a very competitive season, isn't it?
It's massive. It's massive. I mean, if you look at the 10 teams in the Premier Division, any single one of them is capable of taking points off any other team there. And to be honest, that's what we, you know, that's what we like, and that's what's good about our Premier Division. It's always been competitive. I know Fannad will be going home to go for a treble, three in a row, but Kenny Rovers and Bunnaghee both coming back up after their, you know, their years in the Ulster Senior League. This is them back in the Premier Division again, while Bunnaghee obviously went down, but they're back up again now, stronger than ever, I would think, you know, so they'll be given a good account for themselves. Then you have Guido Celtic, Swellie Rovers, AJ Rovers, who had a very, very good season, the new management there as well, you know, you name it. And an awful lot of local derbies there, Mark, which is going to be very, very good for teams and spectators as well. A lot of local derbies in that Premier Division.
Yeah, and you mentioned a bit earlier, we're getting the season up and running tonight. It's Kildrum hosting Drumahl. Then Saturday sees the opening round of Voodoo Cup fixtures. And then on Sunday, the Brian McCormick Cup gets into full swing. Starting the season with the Cup games again seems to have gone down well, Nigel. This weekend will set the scene nicely.
Yeah, it did. To be fair, we tried something different last year. Clubs were looking for the Cup competition to be pushed back till after Christmas. They'd still have something to play for after Christmas, but to be honest, Mark, it didn't work out. You know, it didn't work out the way we thought it would work out. So we're just hit the reset button back to the way we were. We'll play all the rounds of the Brian McCormick and the Voodoo Cups right up to the area finals before our leagues kick off, and it'll give clubs kind of a good pre-season as well. Even if they're knocked out of the early stages of the cup, they can still play pre-season friendlies against other clubs that are knocked out as well. So there's about 3 or 4 weeks there where they can, you know, get the panels, get them run out, and hopefully qualify for an area final and progress to the semi-final, which will be played later in the year, you know. So there's a carrot there for all the clubs starting off, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at some of the standout ties of this weekend's action. One that jumps off the page immediately is Premier Division champions Fannad taking on Bunnaghee on Sunday. You're probably looking at two of the clubs that'll be in the mix for trophies towards the end of the season, getting to grips with each other for the first time this weekend.
Without a shadow of a doubt, yeah, they'll have a big, big say, and where that the silverware ends up the end of the season. It's an excellent game. It's a good game for both clubs to be starting off with. They don't come much bigger than I'm sure, for Bonagie than having to travel down to Treloar. And I'm sure they'll be relishing the challenge. They'll be up for it. They'll be looking for a good start under new management there as well. So they'll have the bit between the teeth. And Vanad are going to be the team that everybody is going to have to beat, because they're the proven calibre. They've regrouped and they came back, done really, really well since they did come back to the Donegal League, won two titles in a row. So, I mean, it's up to the Bonagies and all the other clubs then to test themselves against probably the best team we've had in the last number of years. So it's a big challenge for Bonagie. Yeah, good start for them.
Yeah, and you were saying that we're going to see a lot of local derbies. There is a big local derby this weekend. Milford are taking on Rathmullen on Sunday. Rathmullen will be an interesting one to watch this season. They've recently appointed a new management team in Owen Sheridan and Terry McCauley, and there's been quite a bit of movement in personnel down there. It'll be interesting to see what kind of start they get off to on Sunday against their old foes Milford.
Yeah, Rathmullen are a fabulous club now. They have been for years, you know. Great, great servants to the Donegal League. And they will, you know, they'd be dusting themselves down. It's a little bit of turmoil when somebody leaves and new manager or so on. But that can actually give emphasis to a club as well, and new management, new ideas, new people coming on board. They'll be looking to give it their all as well. And it's a fantastic start for them as well, a local derby against Milford. There'll be nothing easy there. No love lost between the two of them, you know. So it sets it up nicely. And it's a good... it's a good test for both clubs. I know Milford are maybe not in the Premier Division this year, but they'll be looking to bounce back, and they'll be looking to see how they're going to compete with their Premier Division team, which Rathmullen are. So it'll be a fantastic game, yeah.
Yeah, you've also got Cadhu coming up against Kilmacrenan. There's another local derby between Gedore United and Glenay. There are definitely some interesting matchups this weekend. So by the time the weekend's out, it'll be full steam ahead for the new season. You must be very excited to get it all underway again.
Yeah, we are. It's good. And all those big games this weekend, it's going to set it up for the area semi-finals the following weekend. And they'll all be, you know, because they're all areas, there'll be local derbies as well involved. And you'll have four good teams going hammer and tongs the following week as well. So there's going to be some excellent matches coming up next weekend after this as well, you know. So it's all good. Yeah, it's looking good. And hopefully, you know, clubs seem to be on board with this new format of the Brian McCormick, the old way we used to do it. So they're all... fairly positive about it again this year.
Just finally for me, Nigel, it's important we get out to support our local football teams, isn't it? There's a decent forecast for this weekend. I'm sure you'd encourage people to get out and watch their local club in action.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we're actually, I know we're starting on Thursday night, but there's a full round of Voodoo Cup matches as well, Mark, on Saturday. So there's some cracking matches there as well, you know. And local derbies, we're going down the road again, similar to Brian McCormick, and you've an awful lot of local derbies there on Saturday between good, you know, Strand Rovers, Glenay jumps out there, the holders last year, so they'll have a tough one. You know, Drumbar, St. Catharines, Donegal, Town, Erin Wanderers, they're fantastic, Mariners and Swillies, so you couldn't get a more local derby than that. So, yeah, it's important for locals in those areas to come out, support, you know, the people are melting out, and that's a Saturday afternoon derby for you. You know, the same way all over the country, all over the county, there are good matches, good calibre matches there for people. And it's important to for local communities to support these clubs, because they are, you know, they are providing a good service for the locals in that area. And it's important that locals will get out and support, you know, because a lot of hard work goes on running these clubs and fundraising for them. So it'd be great to see them being well supported by the local communities as well. Yeah.
Yeah, well, thanks very much for talking to us, Nigel, and best of luck with the season. We'll, I'm sure, be chatting to you again very soon.
Thanks, Mark.
That's Nigel Ferry. Good to have Donegal Junior League football back in action this weekend. And in Inishowen, it's the second weekend of the return of the season, with League Cup matches at the top flight, and for teams involved in the second tier as well. So the Clubman Church League Cup has three fixtures this coming Sunday. Cairn play Redcastle United, Buncrana Hearts take on Clonmany Shamrocks, and Ellis Celtic play Alia FC. While in the Charlie O'Donnell Cup, it's Alia Reserves against QPS, Cockhill Youths take on Glenelly Colts, Glengad United will play Rosheenie, and Dunry United are up against Mavill Celtic. There's also a full programme of matches in Division 2 of the Inishowen League as well. Well, at senior level in soccer, both Derry City and Finn Harps have key fixtures once again this weekend. We're going to have live regular updates from Finn Park tomorrow night, Friday. Harps are taking on Cove Ramblers as Harps go in search of their first win since the start of July. They've had a difficult period over the last number of weeks and a period, of course, which has seen them drop out of the promotion playoff spots, down seventh in the table, and they're currently 6 points adrift off the top five and of those teams that are sitting in the playoff positions at the minute. But Jeremy Doherty will be in Balbuffet tomorrow night, and we will have updates from that game. Hopefully Harps can get a positive result tomorrow night. Elsewhere, we can call them at this stage the champions elect, Cork City. They are taking on Longford Town. Bray Wanderers play Treaty United. We have Kerry against UCD, and Wexford Youths are up against Athlone Town as well. The leaders in the Premier Division on goal difference is, of course, Derry City. They took that spot last week and will be looking to build on their good recent results. Galway United at Terrenland Park is the opposition on Friday as Derry go in search of maintaining their push at the top. They hold that advantage over Shelburne, as we said, in goal difference, both on 49 points at the top. Shell's also playing tomorrow night. They take on Dundalk, and that one's also at 7:45. Sligo Rovers aren't in action until Saturday. Sligo currently fourth in the standings, and they play third place Waterford on Saturday at 7:45 as well at the showground. Sligo, of course, looking to bounce back after that horrible loss. I think that's the best way to describe it, against Drogheda United last time out, when they went down by 7-0. Okay, let's go to motorsports. Kyle McBride's push in the British Rally Championship continues this weekend, with rounds 5 and 6 hosted by Rally Car Dig In in Wales, with the event also a round of the European Rally Championship. Kyle and his co-driver Dara Mullen are second in the BRC Junior Championship standings going into the weekend, and their entry for the Welsh contest was given to the crew as an ERC wildcard. McBride and Mullen, who are one of 10 Motorsport Ireland Academy entries, will switch team and car for the rally, moving to an Opel Corsa. Well, I caught up with Kyle earlier this week before he headed off to Wales. Sandy told me that he's looking forward to the new challenge ahead in Wales this weekend.
Yeah, so extremely delighted to be in Wales doing a round of the European Rally Championship. Obviously, the ERC's come over here now. This is the first time here, so yeah, we're delighted to be here. It's the next round of the BRC Championship and also the Stellantis Cup. But our main focus is the championships. We're going to obviously have all of the European competitors racing against us. It's going to be good to gauge ourselves to see where we're at. And yeah, we're using a hire car from IK Rally Sport from Slovenia, which they've kindly worked very well to get a deal done, you know. And yeah, looking forward to trying out the Opel Corsa. So it's going to be an interesting weekend, you know. It's a new team, new car, but no, looking forward to the challenge ahead.
Yeah. Why did you decide to move away from the Peugeot and take up the Corsa?
Originally, we were for taking the Peugeot, just the car wasn't ready in time, and the time scale was just a little bit too tight to have it ready, and it'd leave us a little bit tight to have the prep done for the event. So the prep was crucial important. So we just decided it's a good opportunity to try out a Corsa as well. They're mainly the same, you know. There's a few small differences, but no, we just wanted to try it out to see what it's like as well.
And Kyle, your entry for rallying Cardigan, did it come out of the blue? Because this is a wildcard entry that you received off the back of the ERC.
Yeah, exactly. Delighted. Huge thanks to them. We've been given the wildcard entry along with another Welsh crew. So we're scoring points for the ERC Championship. But it's our main focus is the BRC Championship and the Stellantis Cup. But it's great because we can gauge our pace off the European lads and see how far away we are from those guys. And yeah, we get into the European coverage as well. They have a TV coverage, which is quite good, so we get to get into that. And no, it's quite good. It's going to be very, very interesting, to be fair. It's my first European event, so it's a very big weekend ahead. And yeah, one of the biggest rallies for me, anyways, for sure. So looking forward to it, and hopefully everything goes smoothly.
Yeah, it's all boding well for you and your team, and obviously for the exposure for your sponsors as well. But what sort of event is Rally Cardigan, Kyle? What are you expecting on the stages?
Yeah, so it starts on the Friday evening with two street stages. It's going to be very, very tricky. It's very tight and narrow, and it's just a matter of getting through it, because you make a mistake very easy, a lot of curbs. So the real rally doesn't start till Saturday morning and all day Sunday. So it's It's a long rally, 14 stages, a lot of big long stages, a lot of driving in the stages. So yeah, it's definitely going to be a challenging weekend, for sure. But no, looking forward to the challenge. It's going to be really, really good, and I just can't wait to get going.
Yeah, I suppose that you've done Donegal previously, and it's a very, very long rally. That helps you out in a case like this as well when you're heading into the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. It's always good. That was my first time doing Donegal, the 3 days, and it's always good to do the full rally and see how you can manage and cope throughout the full weekend to keep the concentration levels up. And yeah, it's really, really good. But no, we're happy enough with the Donegal results. So yeah, it's happy enough with the pace on tarmac. So if we can just continue learning and building every rally, I'm learning and learning so much. And I think this weekend there's so much on the table to learn. And yeah, we have to think about learning as long as we go, as long as we keep going and learning along the way. That's really crucial and important. So it's just finding the small steps, which is quite good, so we can just keep learning and building it all up.
And obviously, you're not the only Donegal man's there. Ryan McHugh is there as well, competing in the junior category. You two guys have had great battles over various events, and I'm sure the Irish boys will be looking to give the locals a bit of a test there this weekend.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's good to have another Donegal lad, and for sure, there's a lot of Irish over here. Like the Motorsport Ireland Rally Academy has got 10 crews competing in this event, which is the most ever for the academy. So yeah, it's an unbelievable achievement for them and the work that they're putting in to help us get to the events where we need to get to. It's just a huge credit what they're doing. It's paying off now whenever you can see an entry like that with 10 Irish Academy drivers doing it. So hopefully we all can get strong results throughout the weekend and do the Academy proud.
Yeah, just finally then, what would a strong result be for you? Obviously you want to find yourself in championship contention come the last round. So this is going to be a pivotal weekend, Kyle.
Yeah, for sure. I think if we just focus on everything we have to do right, and hopefully the result can kind of come to us. But it's not going to be easy. It's such a big long event, and especially with the European guys racing us as well, it's going to be interesting to see. But I think my main focus is the championships, and then just gauge my pace to see how far away we are from them, and if we have to up it or down it. But I think we'll not know until we get started. So it's one of those things where you just have to get going and see where you're at. And then from then on through the event, kind of scale your pace up and down if you need to come back or push for a little bit extra. But no, I'm just hopefully looking forward to it, and hopefully everything goes well, and it's going to be a class event.
Ken McBride, who's hoping for a good result. Likewise, Ryan McHugh's also hoping for a good result. And there's quite a few men that know the rallying roads of Donegal very well. They're competing in Wales too. Eamon Kelly will have Rory Kennedy on board. They are competing in a Fiesta Rally 3. While further up the entry list, the Donegal winners Callum Devine and Noel O'Sullivan are in a Skoda and seated 11th. Matt Edwards and David Moynan are 10th. Keith Cronin and Mikey Galvin sit in 9th. The top seed, of course, is Hayden Padden in the Hyundai. And the top placings, of course, the top seeds all include drivers who are featuring on the ERC this year, including William Creighton, of course, who will be seated at number 6 in a Fiesta. Okay, it's time for another break here in the Score. More sports on the way after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to the final section of the Score programme. Tonight we go to the Paralympics. Donegal cyclist Mitchell McLaughlin was the pilot today as Damien Vereker set a PB in the heat of the B4 men's 4,000 metre individual pursuit at the Paralympic Games in Paris. Unfortunately, the time was not enough for a place in the medal race, as the Kilkenny man and the pilot McLaughlin finished 7th overall in the standings. But they're not done yet. There's still more competitions to come. They will also go in the 1,000 metre time trial on Sunday, and then the individual time trial next Wednesday. Meanwhile, Tiernan O'Donnell goes in the rowing tomorrow Friday. The Limerick man's father hails from Urison and Inishowen, while Katie George Dunleavy is also in paracycling action on Friday. Her family, of course, originates from Mount Charles in the south of the county. Well, Mona McSharry was given a hero's welcome in Ballyshannon last night as hundreds turned out to welcome back the Olympic bronze medalist, the Sligo native, a member of the Marlins Club, won Ireland's first swimming medal since 1996 at the Paris Games, and then spearheaded Team Ireland to 7 medals in France. Mark Gallagher went along for Highland Radio Sports to the homecoming last night, where he spoke with Karen Somerville of the Marlins Club, Mona's coach Grace Mead, and of course the Olympic bronze medalist star herself.
Oh, it's unbelievable, you know. I think just having all the people turn out here and like being able to see all the support and come back to a place where I spent so much time when I was younger is great. Yeah.
Has life changed since the Olympics?
Not really, you know. Still the same person. So I think, you know, a couple of these events that are amazing and kind of put you on cloud nine, but then you come back to down to earth and it's just the same Mona.
Yeah. So you had a massive homecoming last night in Sligo, another huge turnout tonight in Ballyshannon. You must feel like you need another holiday after all these things.
No, sure, look, this gives me a lot of energy. It's just so exciting and so much fun, you know.
So I heard Marty Morrissey there give you big credit. He said you were the first person to medal for Team Ireland at the Olympic Games. Do you take credit for that? Did you set the ball rolling?
Yeah, you know, I think just even being a part of a group of people that are winning medals is just unbelievable, especially at the Olympics, and to be the first is so great.
So, Karen, treasurer of Marlins Swimming Club here in Ballyshannon, I was speaking to you before and we were hoping for a good turnout. You certainly got it.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful turnout here this evening in the Market Yard in Ballyshannon. We're so thrilled to welcome Mona back here this evening to Ballyshannon. She did her schooling here, as you know. She attended Colossus the Columkill, and of course she honed her craft here in the local Ballyshannon Leisure Centre as part of Marlins Swimming Club. So we are really, really honoured to have her back this evening with her Olympic bronze medal, and thrilled with the turnout from the town.
Yeah. What does it mean for the club to have produced an Olympic bronze medalist?
It's absolutely incredible, and we couldn't be prouder. You know, we're a small local club here. We have a small pool and volunteer coaches. And to have somebody that has worked their way up through the system and made it all the way to the Olympics and to win an Olympic medal is just incredible for the club. She's such an inspiration to all the swimmers from Marlins and all over, of course. But we're thrilled that she's one of ours. She's still a member of our club. And as I said, we couldn't be prouder.
How long has she been a member of the club?
Since she was a wee girl. She joined the club as an 8 or 9 year old and just worked her way up through the ranks. Yeah,
and what do you remember of her from being a wee girl?
From when she was a wee girl starting off, it became fairly obvious, you know, became obvious fairly quickly that Mona was a great talent. She was such a hard worker, so dedicated to her sport. Anything you asked her to do, she did, and she just did it well. She stood out from very early on, you know, and we're just so glad that she's reached the pinnacle of her sport. You know, it's fantastic.
And swimming here in the Northwest, and indeed Ireland, it's on the up. There are so many youngsters here tonight. They're surely going to be inspired by all this, aren't they?
Absolutely, absolutely. Mona's such an inspiration for our younger swimmers. You know, the wee ones here tonight, they're talking about wanting to be the next Mona and can't wait to get back training. And we've had so many requests for trials to join the club, and yeah, it's just amazing. Mona gives of her time very freely. When she comes home, she comes in, helps coach the younger kids, talks to them, and is very willing and able to, you know, very free with her time. And yeah.
And sport is just so incredible that it can bring communities together like this, isn't it?
Completely, completely. And we're honoured here tonight to have representatives from Swim Ireland and Swim Ulster. And it's just incredible. We, you know, our club has swimmers from, you know, North Sligo, North Leitrim, South Donegal, Fermanagh, and yeah, it's just wonderful.
I'm here now with Grace Mead, who Mona puts a lot of her success to. I think I heard her say it earlier on the one of her interviews there. So Grace, I can't even begin to imagine how proud you are of Mona.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, you know, to be over there in Paris and see her achieve what we set out as a plan about 9-10 years ago. And to see her on that podium was just absolutely amazing. You know, so proud of her. A lot of hard work went into it, and it's just amazing to see her stand on that podium. You know, that was always the target.
Yeah. And it's fantastic to see such a turnout here for Mona and her homecoming in Ballyshannon.
Oh, it is. You know, it's amazing. The amount of people here is incredible, you know, and it's wonderful to see it, all the young ones too. And, you know, they'll all be inspired by it too. you know, so, and the old ones, as a friend of mine jumps out from behind. But yeah, no, it's amazing, and it's a beautiful evening too. The weather really held up, so it makes it all that more enjoyable. The atmosphere is electric, yeah.
I just want to take you back to that night in Paris before the Olympic final. What were your emotions like as a coach before Mona stepped out onto the biggest stage possible to try and achieve her dreams?
I was actually quite calm. You know, I have great belief in her, and the work was done. And I, once you have the work done, and I knew we had met before it, and we had spoken, and I knew she was in really good form. Her head was in a really good place, so I had great belief in her. And we always knew it was going to be a really, really tight race, you know, and there was nothing in it between the first six, to be honest. So, I mean, she got her hand on the wall to be third. It could easily have been sixth. You know, that's how tight the race was. But she got her hand on the wall, and that's all that we could ask for.
As a coach preparing your athlete in swimming, is it better for them to be pumped up and full of adrenaline, or are you trying to relax them before the biggest race of their lives? What's the feeling like?
I'd be more trying to relax them. Mona can get pumped up herself. She doesn't need me to do it, but I just try to keep her calm, you know, all the time. But she has it all worked out now. She has a procedure that she does and before and the lead up to a race. So once that all falls into place, she's quite calm, and she's different music she listens to. But I think they get pumped up for the shorter races and a little bit calmer for the longer races, you know. The 50 metre sprint, yeah, we do go nuts for that.
And the moment she gets her hand on the wall and you look up at the big screen and it's third place, bronze medal, Olympic Games, surely just a rush of emotions.
Oh my God, I couldn't believe it. And it took a while to come up on the big screen, and we were all just looking, and I just can't explain what it felt like, you know, to see number three opposite her name on the Olympic stage is just incredible. So, I mean, it was, I really can't explain what it was. It was just a pride, and the tears were rolling down my face just with pride. It was amazing.
Well, I can only imagine. And you're speaking about pride. The pride that Ballyshannon and Sligo has for Mona is immense. And there are a lot of the younger generation here. This is going to inspire them, isn't it?
It is, yeah, absolutely. You know, the immortal Chris O'Donnell too from Grange with Mona, you know, Mark English, you know, Kelly McGrory, all those athletes in the local area here, Donegal Town to Sligo, where it's phenomenal, you know, Paris Olympics with regards to all the athletes locally. So, you know, whatever sport we do, you know, it has to inspire the next generation without a doubt.
A package put together by Mark Gallagher, who was at the homecoming for Mona McSharry last night. Just finally hearing the score tonight, the new rugby season is up and running with North West clubs in action this weekend. An Ulster Premiership 2, Omagh on the road as they play Belfast Harlequins. In Championship 1, City of Derry are at home against Randallstown. And Letterkenny start their Championship 2 campaign. They're on the road as they go to Carrickfergus. And that is it from the score programme for tonight. If you missed any of the show, you will of course be able to recap in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. So enjoy the rest of your Thursday. From me, Oisin Kelly, have a very good evening.